Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from our animal compound in Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, the old animal guy, and this is Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Hello to all our listeners from around the world and across North America. Behind the controls of this radio missile this week is Billy Willard. He's our technical engineer. And from the Wild World News Studios, now HD in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and usually regular Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Why, good evening, Mr. Batson. What's going on there at the Wildlife Educational Services tonight?
Well, tonight, we've had beautiful weather in this part of the country. I'm telling you, it's been 72 degrees during the day and sunshine and cool at night. And I have to tell you, the bears, and I've said this a million times on this show, maybe 2 million, bears do not hibernate. Well, I also tell our bears, because their appetites have increased dramatically. And I told them, I said, you don't have to eat like this. You're going to get fed all winter long. I mean, it's like, but, you know, who am I? I'm only the animal guy, the supposable animal expert. So what would I know?
Well, a lot, apparently. And while we're talking about bears, we might warn our listeners that it's that time of the year, the way the weather's been across the states. The bears are on the move. They're migrating to find food to fatten up for winter.
They are. For the bears that do take it easy in the wintertime, they are... their appetites. You know what bears eat before they go into hibernation, Dr. Day?
Anything they can find.
They eat tree bark and they eat dirt. Now, here's a multi-task or multi-choice question. Why would you think they would eat tree bark and wood and dirt?
A suppository.
Well, yes, I will take that answer.
I was kind of hoping I was wrong.
No, it's called a bear plug, and that stops the bears up so all winter long they don't have to worry about number two in their den. Because, you know, if you're hanging out in that den all winter, you
right.
don't want...
Yeah, I get the picture, yeah.
So, it's not a good thing. And I have to tell you that our bears, we keep on dirt and grass, and they do definitely, even though our bears don't go through that phase of semi-hibernation, they still eat dirt. So, here's another multiple question. What color do you think the bear poop is?
No, I've seen it before, but I don't know if I've seen it with dirt in it. Brown.
Well, that's a half an answer. It's brown all the time. No, it's the same color as the dirt. You cannot tell the difference.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now, would you read that National Geographic I'm asking you right now?
No.
No, you would not. Only on Wild World every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio at 10 p.m. And we want to say a big hello to our friends at Roanoke Elementary School. We were there on Wednesday, and Lancaster Elementary in Huntington, Indiana, there Wednesday. We had two wonderful shows, and both shows I got the snot beat out of me by the baboon. So it was a great show for the children.
I bet it was.
I absolutely love that, Dr. Day. I mean, the more that baby abuses me, the funnier they think that it is. And you know what she always has to do, which is close to hysterical? Hysterical. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
There, Dr. Day? Yeah. She sits on my head just as nonchalant and just totally comfortable is just phenomenal.
That's a fascinating thing.
Anyway, I'm wasting all kinds of time tonight. We want to thank Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Weekend and Expo. Go to their website. Peter Weimer is the proprietor of ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com and has the complete six-hour video hosted by, do you want to know who it's hosted by, Dr. Day?
Please.
Larry Batson. And it has six hours of great video with Billy Willard, Steve Coles, Melissa Hovey, the infamous Bob Gimlin from the Patterson-Gimlin film, and yours truly. And for those who follow Finding Bigfoot and all these other silly Sasquatch shows, watch the real deal. Watch this video. It's only $4.99. You can download it anytime. Go to the website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. It is a tremendous value. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for October the 10th. This year is just flying by.
That was a flying by.
That's good sound effects. All right. Well, did you know turtles could fly?
Turtles?
Turtles, yes.
Well, I wasn't aware of that, but I'm sure there's an instance where they've had to.
Well, let's head off to Las Vegas, Nevada tonight. A 320-pound disabled green sea turtle is now paddling around the Shark Tank Reef Aquarium after an odyssey that included a cross-country trip in a FedEx plane.
Oh.
Yeah, now officials at the Mandalay Bay Casino released Ode, is his name, into the tank on Monday.
Mm.
A 320-pound green sea turtle.
Wow. Well, you know, when you first said, could turtles fly, do you know the television show Duck Dynasty?
Yes.
And Phil had to find a new turtle for Miss Kay because her turtle was lost.
No, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, he was catching turtles in the crayfish nets, and every one that she refused, it went flying back into the water. I thought that's where she were going.
Well, they do skip like a stone, I guess.
I guess they would, but we would never do that because we love the baby turtles, don't we, Dr.?
That's right. We do love them baby turtles. All right. Bird is the word in Richmond, Virginia. A new survey, the first of its type in about a decade, found that herons in the Chesapeake Bay region have rocketed to 14,126 pairs.
How many pairs?
Pairs, 14,000 pairs.
Wow.
In 407 communal nesting areas called colonies. Now, that's up from just a dozen colonies in the late 1960s.
Oh, my Lord.
That's quite an improvement.
That's a tremendous, and I feel for the guy that had to count all those herons.
Yep.
I guess you count them all and divide by two, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Let's photograph them from the air and hope for the best. All right, now, with six tigers, I'm not sure if you're going to want to hear this next story.
Okay.
Well, a tiger tore the arm off a woman working at the exotic animal park in Oklahoma on Saturday morning. Yes.
How would the tiger get the woman's arm?
Well, witnesses said the woman was trying to either place or remove a lock on the cage holding the tiger at the Gerard Wayne International Zoological Park in Wynwood, Oklahoma. So apparently she was chaining it. Maybe there was just enough room for the tiger to get his arm through.
Well, you know what irritates me? It's irresponsibility, first of all, and the regulations that we have to follow. And how many limbs were lost last week from lawnmowers? Now, that's not sensational enough for them. But a tiger, oh, yeah, that's a big news story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Glad I wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I hate to see blood. Oh, God.
All right, we're heading off to Kona, Hawaii. Now, listen to this story. A six-month-old endangered monk seal that bit two men swimming in the Kamakahanu Bay has been captured and relocated. Now, a veterinarian with the Marine Mammal Center said that the 100-pound male monk seal had been swimming circles around the men and was just, you know, trying to engage them in a little bit of play. So he was nipping at them, and I guess apparently they don't like that, so they had to move him.
Oh, well.
Yep, we had to relocate him.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's his neighborhood. Why didn't they swim somewhere else?
Yeah, what are they? I'm not going to go there. I was going to call them wimps. but I'm not going there because Neil Lord
told me
before the show, Larry, you've got to contain yourself. So I'm not going to call them wimps.
All right, well, I'm sending a shout-out to all the prairie dogs in Fort Belknap, Montana.
And how many would that be?
Well, a lot, apparently, because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has relocated 32 endangered black-footed ferrets into the 1,000-acre prairie dog colony.
Oh, my gosh. Their world just turned upside down.
Yes. That's why I was warning them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We should send them an email, too.
Yes, please, all
our
listeners.
The sheriff's come to town.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah. Yeah, good news for the ferrets, but not for the prairie dogs.
No, that's bad news.
All right, great balls of concrete, Cambridge, Maryland. An artificial oyster reef made up of 300 concrete balls has been completed in the Choptank River at the Bill Burton Fishing Pier. Yes. So people are going to look down in the water and see the largest pearl necklace ever made.
I wonder why they decided they had to be shaped into balls.
I don't know. Probably, yeah.
Is that the surface that they want to adhere to? Or?
Well, probably because of the ocean currents, probably the less likely thing to be moved around on the bottom. But I'm not sure.
No.
But anyway, it's a good thing for the oysters.
It is. Maybe it was easier for the people to move if they're shaped in their form of balls.
Who knows? Maybe they just rolled them down to the...
Well, that's what I was just thinking. Put your staff on that. We need to find out some answers.
I shall.
Okay.
Now, here's a strange story out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. A mastodon tooth that turned up in a July charity pickup was turned over to the public museum, which is adding the find to its collection. Now, the toothpieces and tusk were estimated to be 12 to 15,000 years old.
Oh.
Honey, take those old mastodon teeth and give them to the Goodwill.
They should.
They didn't.
They did. Yeah,
how much
definitely.
Do you think you could get from the Tooth Fairy for that mastodon tooth?
Well, when I was a child and got the Tooth Fairy, I only got a dime. So, probably a dollar.
Probably, at least.
Now I'm figuring out inflation here, so no, I imagine that thing's pretty much priceless.
Yeah, I would think so. It'd be pretty cool to have a mastodon too.
Yes, it would.
And they're
now,
pretty
Billy
large.
Billy Willard could. Yeah, well, Billy Willard could probably afford one. So.
No, it's not in my pay scale.
Oh, I'm sorry. Be cool to have though.
All right, we've got a new baby in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The zoo welcomed the newest member of its elephant herd. Rosie, 20 years old, an Asian elephant, gave birth to the female calf after only 22 months of gestation.
Well, our good friend Doug Hodel, who happens to be in charge of the reptile department down there at the biopark.
That's right.
He's been keeping us up to date on Facebook with that, and I guess they had a team. And they had a well-mapped-out plan because they knew she was going to be early, and they were ready. And I guess, and it's just beautiful, and his posting on his Facebook is he wants one. So,
well, well, good for Doug. We love Doug. He is a great friend of ours.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show in the next few weeks, so we're getting back on to find out what's going
good,
on.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Now, the calf makes the seventh elephant there at the... At the Albuquerque Bio Park.
You know, years ago, we got a few animals donated from that zoo to us for our wildlife lectures. We got two black leopards, cubs, and a spotted hyena.
Oh, I remember the hyena.
Which we never had the chance to use in our school lecture programs because when we got it, it was a little bit old and wasn't used to that type of environment. And if you've ever been bitten by a hyena, they have the strongest jaws of any land mammal. And it's basically like putting your fingers in a closed car door. So
yes,
when they clamped down on me that one time, I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, that hurts. I was not happy that we were able to use it.
Well, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, it was a cool animal, though. Gosh.
Well, I guess we need more moose crossing signs in North Dakota. Two separate traffic accidents involving moose have been reported here in the last few days.
Well, Dr. Day, you work for a sign company. You could probably ship them a couple dozen at the right price.
You know, you're right. Well, that can happen. All right, well, the escaped emu in Olathe, Kansas has been captured. The flightless bird was found running loose at Kill Creek Park. So...
Good,
yeah. Good news there.
That's
all right, how are we doing tonight on time? Oh, we're
doing great.
Okay, well, let me get into this. Okay. let's see. Well, why don't we already talked about the bears. Oh, did you hear about have you noticed the stink bugs?
The who?
Have you been seeing stink bugs here lately? Indiana has an infestation of stink bugs.
Those and the Asian ladybugs and lightning bugs this fall.
Well, we like the lightning bugs.
We do, but I saw
we don't like the
lots
stink.
Of them this afternoon, in the afternoon.
I'm surprised, but these brown marmalated stink bugs have came in from Asia in shipping crates. And they were first identified here about 10 years ago. And for some reason, they're very strong this year. You're going to find them in the house. You're going to find them everywhere.
Not unless you have a baboon, and it eats every bug in sight.
I'm going to have to get me a baboon then. And if you should encounter these stink bugs, the brown marmalated stink bugs, do not squish them. That's how they get their names.
Well... And I'll give you a report next week, and if she tries any, whether she likes them or not.
I can pretty much guarantee that she's not going to like them.
And that's Elizabeth, our olive baboon.
Yes. Yeah. Your daughter.
Our daughter.
All right, are you ready for the wild world facts of the day?
I'm sitting down.
All right, now you know that I have a rare blood type, and I donate blood every couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I found this fact kind of interesting. Dueling is legal in Paraguay as long as both parties are registered blood donors. Yes. That was my reaction.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
exactly. All right, now, for all of our young listeners out there.
We're listening.
All right. Recycling one glass jar saves enough energy to watch TV for 3 hours.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's how important recycling is.
It is important.
All right. Now, while hunting for food among these sharp-edged coral reefs, porpoises often cover their tender noses with face masks that they fashion out of sponges.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, I did not know that.
Pretty smart creature.
Oh, Johnny Carson.
All right, now, we're pigging out at Pennsylvania State University. Now, Professor Stanley Curtis taught sick pigs to play video games using their snouts to control the joysticks. Yes, and they learn to match similar objects and hit the targets that get smaller and smaller. Now, of course, the pigs were well motivated. Their efforts were instantly rewarded with M&M's. Yeah, well, you got M&M's, I'll do anything too. That's the Wild World News for October the 10th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We always appreciate the hard work he puts in each week. It's always wonderful. We'd also like to thank Wildlife Educational Services, my company, and our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tell us all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs. Yes, we can come to your school or your group event and bring our animal ambassadors. We'd love to do it. The website is www.LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. And also our brand new book, Alphabet Swamp. Get your autographed copy today. Go to the website, send us an email. It's only $10, signed by myself and my wife, Cheryl. She writes them, and I illustrate them. It's a lot of fun. And all these things makes it possible for us to be on this wonderful, wonderful worldwide network of Blog Talk Radio. Of the year on Wild World, all the way from Warsaw, Indiana. And remember, Dr. Day, raise your hand if you have a question. Our friend, Miss Amy Spyhart.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Well, we don't have a clue. We don't really know.
Yeah.
I'm doing great. I don't know about Dr. Day, but.
No, Dr. Day doesn't need to answer that question.
Dr. Day is always good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, we talked before the show, so we know how you're doing, Dr. Day.
Yeah, see.
Right?
So how's the world of Amy Swihart in the first grade at Madison Elementary School in Warsaw, Indiana?
Oh, you know, it's pretty good. I have a cold this week, which really stinks. The cooties are finally getting to me. But, yeah. Oh, wait, I think back in the old days, cooties meant head lice. No, I don't have head lice. I met germs. Like, I have a cold. That's it. I just have a cold. But, you know, it's that time of year where they're all starting to get sick. And last time we talked on Thursday about all the snot and boogers that go on in first grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has not ended at all. But but anyway, yeah, it's just pretty normal around here.
I can't
believe we had our field trip last week. We talked on Thursday. That was coming up on Friday. And
yes.
We had 76 kids and only one bee sting.
Oh!
Wow.
I know. And it was one of my kids. And you know what? He was so brave. He didn't cry or anything. So and he wasn't allergic. You know, half the world is allergic.
Yes,
so I didn't
have
to whip out an EpiPen because that was not going to be pretty. Did you know?
Yeah,
hey, I can, listen. This is something new. You probably don't know this. Okay, so we at the beginning of the school year, right before school starts, we have to get training on EpiPens because there's an EpiPen for everything nowadays. And did you know
tell our audience what that is?
Oh, an EpiPen is just basically like an injection, a shot. It comes preloaded, and it's a no-brainer. Anybody's supposed to be able to give one. And if somebody's having an allergic reaction, you just simply like hit them in the thigh with this EpiPen. Well, they talk now. The EpiPens talk. I mean, it's EpiPens for morons. Seriously. So now when somebody's throat is swelling shut, and they can't breathe, and they're turning blue, you turn the EpiPen on. This is assuming the batteries are not dead. That never happens, right? And
right.
you listen for directions, and it tells you what to do. Like it says, remove cap. You know, and so I know. But anyway, we received training on how to do that, and so I'm well prepared to use an EpiPen. I'll just tell you, though, that if somebody is having an allergic reaction and their throat is swelling shut, I will not listen to the dang directions. I will just simply stab them in the leg. There's too much time lost. They didn't have to use it last Friday somehow. We got onto that long story. But, yeah, so our field trip was pretty uneventful. And, this week we had chickens in my classroom. That was fun because I have chickens at home. Yep, chickens in the classroom. I know. All hens, no cocks. Wait.
What kind of chickens? What type?
Well, you know, we have the favorite of all is the white silky. I really don't remember the names of them as well as my kids do. One that looks like a pigeon, and her name is Pee-wee. They're all named, and we had Beulah, Pee-wee. One of them is named Paula Deen. I don't know why, but Paula Deen. And Rosie came. And the kids had a good time. Most of the kids have never even seen a live chicken, you know. So
really?
It seems real simple. But to probably 75% of my class, they had never seen a live chicken. Because, you know, Larry the Animal Guy does not bring them to our school when he comes.
No.
He brings more complicated things. He doesn't simply bring, like, a chicken or a cow or a duck. He brings, like, baboons and tigers and those kinds of things.
I would be embarrassed to present a chicken. The only time I've ever used chickens is for
don't even say it.
Food.
I know.
That is it.
I know, but you know it. The truth is. I mean, I'll probably have a turkey in here for Thanksgiving, too, because they've not seen a live turkey either. And you know my job is to educate. So.
That's right.
A teacher's got to do what a teacher's got to do.
And you do. So where did you guys go on your field trip?
We went to Koinonia, which I told you last time, Mr. Batson, and you weren't listening, evidently.
Evidently.
It's owned by Manchester, used to be college, and I'm a graduate of Manchester College. I will still call it Manchester College. It's now Manchester University, but it's Manchester College to me. And it's, you know, near Pearson, Indiana, and it's only about 20 minutes from us, and it's a nature preserve, wildlife. They have trail and a lake. And so it was a pretty simple day, but yet really good for the kids.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So did they see any wildlife besides the bees?
Oh, no snake sightings this year. We had that last year. No, not really. I mean, they have a lot of stuffed animals inside their building there, which, you know, the albino raccoon is always a favorite.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, that's really pretty cool. So they're pretty fascinated. That's probably something that's really fascinating to them is to see the various stuffed animals that have been donated. And because they're right, they can get pretty close up to them. So they really enjoyed that.
I was one of the first people to ever bring out of the wild an albino raccoon.
Really?
Yes, it was in 40 years ago. And,
I was in diapers then, just so you know.
Thanks a lot. And they're so funny looking because they're yellow and their mask and the rings around the tail are orange. And so it was pretty bizarre looking. And we ended up sending it to a game breeder in Texas that was going to try and breed them. And I guess he was quite successful. But, that's a little bit of Larry the Animal Guy trivia there. But, yes, that actually happened. Can you stick around for a little bit, Ms. Weihart?
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Folks, you're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland-urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. remove dead leaves and branches, and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Cassie, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
This bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, not.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
We're Rascal Flats. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. We'll be right back with Dr. Henry Day and our teacher of the year, Amy Swihart, as we continue our conversation about animals and all that stuff that we're involved with. We want to thank McGregor Mountain Lodge and beautiful scenic Estes Park, Colorado. They're having a pretty tough time, folks. Basically, there's only one road, one way to get into Estes Park, Colorado, and this is their prime time of the year. Beautiful aspens, the elk are bugling, it's absolutely spectacular in the Rockies. Please go to their website, www.mcgregormountainlodge.com. Make a reservation. They need the business, man. It's really been tough for them. And we appreciate them being underwriter, Michael Hodges. We're going to get a report from him in the next couple of weeks of how Estes Park is rebuilding from basically 20 inches of rainfall in one night that come down off of those peaks of 14,000 feet and basically swamped the town of Estes Park, and it's just a mess. Rocky Mountain National Park still is closed because of the government situation. We still haven't gone to Alabama because of the government situation. It's the Wheeler Wildlife Refuge to celebrate their 75th anniversary. So, hey, guys, get back to work. But please go to their website, McGregorMountainLodge.com, and support them. We also want to remind everybody, while forgetting about it, go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do. Also, our wildlife education programs and our books that we sell and all sorts of cool stuff. And Amy and Dr. Day, I found an interesting article today that I would like to share with you. Please.
Go ahead.
It's absolutely fascinating. I know you were spellbound already.
Yes.
it involves spiders, and they've done research, and they've figured out, let me quote these words word for word, and Billy Willard, grab a pencil if you want to take notes. Spider webs, believe it or not, the work of young spiders 20 days of age were precise and geometric, while elderly spiders 5 months and up made irregular webs riddled with gaps. In other words, I guess spiders, as they get older, they get lazy, or the Alzheimer's starts to kick in. I don't know. Do we have any thoughts on that?
Well, duh. I mean, why did we have to do research for that? Isn't that probably a no-brainer?
Well,
Larry, look, if you were making a web, I mean, years ago when you made your web, you probably would have done a much better job than when you were making your web now, right?
Probably.
Or your bed.
You know, you're a little older, right?
A little older. Not a lot older.
You have to figure that insects, generally, their lifespan is, you know, from spring to fall.
Yeah.
And as the winter comes in, it's over. So a 20-day-old spider is probably in its 20s.
Wow. That makes me think we have Charlotte's Web coming up.
It might add a whole new dimension to Charlotte's
Web. It might. That's right.
Here we go. As the article says, as the heroine of Charlotte's Web once lamented,
wow,
the spider's life can't help being something of a mess.
Right.
Especially if that spider isn't so spry anymore. Oh my gosh. Aging arachnids are catching the interest of scientists like Nancy, what's her name? Mylene? never mind. Forget the name. She says invertebrates with short lifespans make useful models. Fruit flies have been used to study human neurological diseases like Alzheimer's. Why not spiders, too? What did we think today? We're so excited.
I've never really thought of that, so you've really enriched my life tonight. You know it? I got to tell you some things that happened to me this week. Listen, So, you know, kids say whatever they want to, I don't know, they're just so darn honest. Well, on Monday morning, kids come in, you know, I'm all fired up. By the way, this is our fundraiser week, so every day the kids did something different. They dressed up. And Monday was spirit wear day, which that wasn't too bad. That's just wear, you know, red and black and white colors. No big deal. But the first kid that comes in Monday morning comes to the door with a smile on their face, walks up to me in my Madison Cardinal T-shirt, and says to me, Mrs. Twyhart, did you eat out this weekend? Because you sure look like you ate out this weekend. What is that supposed to mean? Of course I ate out this weekend. But did I look like I ate out this weekend? Do I have buffet written all over me?
That was a young boy, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, my jeans were a little tight, but that's not noticeable to them. I mean, you know, I don't know, but I I've been around them a lot. I know that they just say things and they don't always know what they're saying. It's sort of like the second grader last year that I heard say to another second grade boy, "Me and that Mrs. Twyhart is sexy." What? I mean, what? Okay, first of all, when I heard him say that as they were walking into the boys' restroom, my first instinct was to grab them and say, "We don't use words like that." But then I thought, no, I don't even want, I'm just like, I didn't hear that. So it was just, they just say some of the craziest things, and they're just so, they don't think, and you know what I was going to say? They're pretty honest. So maybe when those boys said that, they were so right. But anyway, so that happened to me. Tuesday was, what was Tuesday? It's such a fond memory. By the way, when the PTO schedules these crazy days, it's just it's high maintenance for us as teachers. Tuesday was pajama day. Oh, perfect.
Oh.
So I wore pajamas, and I had to go buy pajamas for the occasion because what I wear to bed is not something I would wear to school. And so I found, how perfect, I found Dr. Seuss pajamas, and I wore those, like I usually do over lunch, decided to run a few errands and realized at the end of my lunch break that I was the moron walking through all of the department stores in my pajamas. And I wondered why people were looking at me strange. And then later
on, they wouldn't have.
Oh, see, I didn't go to Walmart. See, that's where I went wrong. I went places where you don't go in your pajamas. That's not normal.
That's right.
And I was wearing my school ID badge. So, I mean, you know, it's like, I have a badge, I look, you know, they see my name, and I'm walking around in pajamas. And then that evening, I took my son to swim practice, and I walked in, and I have written all over my pants, thing one and thing two.
Yeah.
There, are more pervs in this world than you can imagine. I'm walking around, they're like, thing one and thing two on your pants. And I'm like, stop it. That is
Dr.
just ridiculous.
Dr. Seuss, man.
Yeah, I know, Dr. Seuss. Let's leave it at that. Dr. Seuss.
I wish every day was pajama day.
I know. It was actually really pretty nice. And I've decided we're going to have another one. And then, let's see, Wednesday was Crazy Hair Day. I did not partake because I did not want to run errands over lunch and go places after school with crazy hair. And today, what was today? Oh, Hat Day. I hate Hat Day. I don't like hats. The kids are just crazy with hats. Someone puked in someone's hat in the bathroom today. How does that happen?
Oh!
If it's on your head, how do you get puke in it? Right?
You know what I used to love to do?
I'm finishing my story. It's not your turn.
Okay, go ahead.
This kid comes back to class and he's holding his hat and it's got puke in it. I said, is that your puke? And he said, no. And I said, if your hat is on your head, how do you get puke in it? Well, then I found out that somebody else had taken off of his head and tried to throw it over the stall door and get it into the toilet. And when he got it back, somebody else puked and it just happened to get a little bit in the hat. How weird is that? So needless to say,
apparently
the Indianapolis Colts hat, the Indianapolis Colts hat went home in a trash bag with that child today. Yeah. I know.
Everyday adventure.
I know. And tomorrow, I'm not going to be at school tomorrow because my 18-year-old son has to have a procedure done at the hospital. And he doesn't listen to the show probably because, you know, he's 18. And he doesn't. I'm not cool. Sorry. And so anyway, he has to have a colonoscopy. So you know what he's doing tonight? He's drinking
he's
all that
drinking
stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what happened at my house tonight? Because Larry, if you noticed on Facebook, I put only at my house. Well, he mixed up that stuff, and then the 11-year-old poured himself a glass.
Oh.
So, I know.
Do you have enough restrooms?
I do.
Do you have enough toilets available?
The 11-year-old said, what's going to happen to me? I said, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. You'll feel better in the morning. But he said, it tasted just like the roll-ups, Mom. Well, I'm glad they made it taste good. And then the 18-year-old's thrilled to death because he has less to drink now. I said, you do realize if you screw up the prep for this procedure, then you have to start all over again at another time. So you might as well get it right the first time.
That's right.
So, yeah. So now I have two people at my house. I'm not home right now, so it's not really my problem, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not your problem at all.
I know. So, but what are the chances, you know, that, and we had written on the pitcher. See, the pitcher he mixed it in was one we used last summer for a party we were having, and it said party lemonade or something like that on it. I had just written it with a Sharpie marker, so when the 11-year-old went to get a drink, he goes, well, it says party lemonade. You know what rhymes with party, don't you? You know what rhymes with party? Party.
Yeah.
I know.
So,
I know.
Well, you know, there's a lot of entertainment value when you bring him home tomorrow. You need to videotape that.
I'm certainly going to because I will be able to get a lot of things done around my house if I have the right footage, right?
Oh, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Because they have no memory of it the next day. And what I did when Cheryl had to go through that procedure and I was bringing her home, I'd call up her friends so they can have the enjoyment that I was having talking to her.
Yeah. I will do something for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
video
I
needs
still,
to be made.
I still have it on video. Okay, this was back before I had a fancy phone. But I have it on video, the old video camera, of him throwing a big old fit. He was like 16 years old. I had him on the floor in his bedroom crying with me hovering him with the fly swatter in one hand and a video camera in the other. And I do threaten to get that out every now and then. I'm like, can you believe that? You're 16 years old and your mother had you crying because of a fly swatter.
You weren't going to make him lick it, were you?
No. Oh, no. Never.
Oh, good.
No. I should have, maybe. No. You know what I did? You know what I always, and God love Alec. He's my strong-willed child. He pretty much says what he thinks, and I'm not sure where he gets that. But stop. Everybody blames me, but it's not me. I'm shy. I'm only doing this for you. I'm really a very shy person. So, what really gets to him, because I read a book once, because I read all those parenting books, because I was going to do this right, and I still am trying to do it right, but it said you should always take something that belongs to that's of value to your child when they are not following directions or following the rules. So I took his hair, because his hair was pretty valuable to him, and I used to just cut out chunks of his hair when he got mouthy. So he's pretty scared of me.
Well, we kind of know what you're going through, because our mothers had three boys each. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll bet you just guys, you boys couldn't pee in the potty either. Right?
Well, we usually got in trouble for when at first, you know, when we were young, we'd get injured, and it was really dramatic. And as we got older, it was like, don't bleed on the furniture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, my son broke his thumb, and I looked at it. I didn't know it was broken, but it was black and blue. I said, you probably jammed it. Go outside and play. You know what? 3 days later, we were at the orthopedic surgeon. You know, it's like, or the time when he was eating breakfast, and he said, I don't feel so good. And I go, maybe if you ate your pancakes, you'd feel better. And he ate his pancakes, and he went on the bus and puked them up all over the place. I was like, oh. I was just glad I was on the bus and not at home.
Yeah, well, I was getting ready to say, when we were having the wonderful puke stories about when we were at Indiana Beach, when we were working up there, and I had access to the public address system.
Yeah.
And I always loved getting on the public address system and announcing things like, maintenance, we need vomit sorb at the Tilt-A-Whirl. Vomit sorb at the Tilt-A-Whirl.
They would not allow that anymore, you know.
That's
not even,
fun.
Like, politically correct anymore. You can't say that, because that would humiliate the person that vomited on the Tilt-A-Whirl. You do that. You do it like this now, Mr. Batson. Code 104, or something like that. You can't say anything normal anymore. You know?
Yeah, I know where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And they did that. They had those rules then, but I
you didn't follow them.
Microphone. I did not care.
Dr. Day, has your hand been up for a while now?
Yes, it has.
What do you want to say, Dr. Day?
Well, I was wondering about your first grade class. What's the ratio of boys and girls?
Oh, I have 10 boys and 9 girls. So it's pretty even.
Is that normal? I mean,
it always seems to be way more. The last few years, it's been a lot more boys than girls. I mean, a couple years ago, I only had like 5 girls and 15 boys. Just think about what high school is going to be like.
Yeah, I was thinking it would probably be the opposite.
When I was a kid, it was the opposite. There seemed to be more girls. What would be the cause of that?
Well,
good years.
I can think of it. Well, it's like when I lived, I was stationed in the service in El Paso. And I was friends with a lot of the Mexican families there. And, God, a lot of the families were Catholic, and they would have as many as 15 kids.
Yeah, but why so many?
11 would be girls, and, you know, 4 or 5 be boys.
Right. You know what? There's somebody here in town, they have 11 children, 10 boys and 1 girl.
Hmm.
What?
I need a
How
hobby.
Did that happen? Can we blame that on global warming?
Oh, my Lord.
Could we blame it on global warming? Because that's what we blame
yes.
a lot of things on. Global warming is all about. Or global warming? Or is it the hormones that our kids are eating in their meat and the meat that is killing what is it? Is it the Y? No. The X's? What would it be killing?
Well,
this is like way beyond first grade science.
Well, you cannot take in any meat into Mexico because the Mexicans say our meat is too dangerous.
Yeah.
It's filled with chemicals and steroids. And like Walmart, oh gosh, Walmart will be after me now. They use red dye on their meat.
Oh.
So it, you know, because if you've ever looked at a freshly dressed deer or a cow, it's not red; it's brown.
Yeah.
And remember, in the old days when I was a child, that you couldn't keep a pound of hamburger in your refrigerator more than a couple days, or it'd start to go bad.
Yeah.
Heck, now you can have it in there for a couple weeks if it's kept at room temperature. It's still still bright red and maybe somewhat
nice.
Consumable. Yeah.
Nice.
But,
yeah. Well, I don't know. I do believe a little bit in the whole chemical and hormone things going on because.
Oh, I absolutely do too.
You know, being a girl, I noticed some differences from girls nowadays and girls like me from the olden days.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. The Dr. Day, is your hands back up again?
Oh, what else did you have? Because I'm sorry, Dr. Day. Did you put deodorant on today, Dr. Day?
Yes, I did. I use Arm & Hammer.
You do? That's pretty cheap stuff. That's why I sometimes buy that, too.
Yeah.
Because last time we talked about how if you put your arm up all the time and you smell, that's not a good thing.
Right.
Great. So did you want to ask me anything else? Now's your chance.
Oh, let's see.
Well, I have a story for everybody.
Okay.
Big cats need room to roam. In the case of the jaguars that stretch from Mexico to Argentina, and human development is getting in their way. Conservation can usher them across highways and underpasses, but the jaguars balk at crossing cultivated fields that have replaced their natural cover. Especially soy, corn, and oil palm crops. Now, would you ever would have thought that farmers' field would be a deterrent for big cats in South America like jaguars?
Yeah, well, I would think they would like it.
You would think that they would because, of course, that attracts other animals like here in Indiana. That there's more deer now than ever because of the cornfields. And they like to live on the forest edge. And then, 200 years ago, we were blanketed with forest, so there wasn't as many deer as there are now.
You know,
in
Central America, when I lived in Panama, the natives there they'd build these little grass shacks out in the middle of the jungle, and they would burden the jungle back about 100 yards from their houses, which would help keep a lot of the animals, you know, including scorpions and snakes.
Mm-hmm.
Away from their homestead.
Yeah. That would make sense. Well, I told you the old story. I was down in Bean Blossom, Indiana, snake hunting one time.
Yeah.
And I had this particular spot that was very good. I always did well there. I pull up there, and the guy recognized me. And he said, Larry, he said, what are you doing down here? I said, I'm getting ready to go back in these woods and fields and go snake hunting. He says, oh, well, good luck with that. I said, I usually do fairly well. So I come back, and I basically had caught every species of snake indigenous to southern Indiana back in these woods and these fields because there was one particular area that was covered with old roofing tin. Every piece of roofing tin you'd pick up, there'd be two or three snakes underneath it. So I had bags and bags of snakes. So I come back, and he sees me carrying those bags and bags of snakes, and I start pouring them out in his yard, showing the different snakes and explaining about them. And after I had them back all in their bags and in my truck, he said, how do I keep them out of here, man? He said, I don't like snakes. I said, you keep your grass mowed and you keep your barn neat. Don't leave anything out that attracts mice, because if you attract mice, you'll attract snakes. So he said, thank you. So I go down there like a month later, and I pull up there, and I look over at his yard, and his entire 4-acre yard was mowed like a putting green. And I looked in his barn, And it was the neatest, cleanest barn you would ever see. So.
Well, ours, you know what? It's a pit where we keep our chickens. I can imagine there's probably a lot of snakes. I'm not going out there. I don't them either. I'm sorry, Larry. I don't like them.
Because the chickens would attract snakes. The mice that come eat chicken food would attract snakes.
Yes.
It's probably pretty much in your barn, a snake haven.
Mr. Batson, we might have to go do a reptile recovery.
Yes.
Yes, I might. Well, we won't have to worry about it again in a week or two because it's going to be cold enough. They'll be hibernating.
I know.
Yeah, they'll probably move into the house.
Stop it! Hey,
well,
you know
that's
a mouse.
True.
No, we had a mouse last spring, and I was ready to put the house up for sale. It was a mouse. It was like, you can't move because of a mouse. I'm like, yes, I can. I mean, I do not like that. I don't like things crawling. They can stay outside. We did catch a mouse, though, and now, as a result, I have mouse traps, like, all over the place, just in case. I sent my 16-year-old up in the attic, and he put a bunch up there. I'm not having that, you know. I'm just not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what happened the other – I shouldn't say this because we haven't told anyone, but in our monkey building, we had a couple mice in there, so I put out some of the decon.
Yeah.
Well, the other day, I'm taking Elizabeth in there, and, man, before I knew it, she'd reached over and grabbed that box of decon, and I had to fish out several pieces of decon out of her cheek pouches. And that was –
oh, my gosh.
And you talk about – but she's fine. She's fine. And we got it all, but it was
you
for
men.
A couple moments.
It's fine. You men. You men. Why? You just don't think sometimes.
Hey Larry, do you know what the remedy is for curing rat poison?
What
if an animal does get into it?
Tell me.
Vitamin K.
Vitamin K.
Oh, so
most,
you're supposed
most,
to run to Walmart and pick up some vitamin K and then run back and yeah?
Actually, there's vitamin K in most dog food, which is the reason why they have problems killing rodents, because the rodents will eat decon, and then they'll find dog food and eat it. And then
that is the fun fact of the week right there from Billy
Willard.
That
is too cool. Do you want to know something? The mouse was getting in my dog's food. My dog's name is Gladys. The mouse was getting in Gladys's food. I probably never killed them, and so now I'm going to go, because we put decon up in the attic, too.
And they're immune to it.
You've
built a super mouse.
I probably did. Yeah. You know what?
There's a whole race of them now.
You know,
they've been reproducing left and right. Oh, my word.
When I lived in Florida, they had a large of the Buffalo Merino frogs, toads get loose. And
what kind of toads?
The Buffalo Merinos.
Oh, yeah, we know what those are exactly. Right?
They get rather large. Anyway, they found that they were eating the dog's food. They were getting the dog food, you know, outside the house. And they were finding these toads 7-8 pounds.
Wow.
The vitamins in the dog food.
They're huge.
Yeah. Ew.
I had a couple years ago, and we were going to take them on Johnny Carson, and it's a long, drawn-out story. I don't have time to tell it tonight, but, there's something else. They've transplanted them into Australia to eat the cane beetles and eat the sugar cane there, and it turned out that they didn't really care for the cane beetles. And now Australia has a tremendous problem with the Buffo Marinus toads.
Picky toads. Picky toads.
Absolutely picky. Huh. Well, my Lord, it's, I tell you. What a fine time we've had tonight. We want to remind everyone we have After the Hour tonight. We've got a special guest with us from 11 to 11:30, and this Mrs. Swan, I know it's a school night, but if you'd like to stick around, blues artist Laura Cheadle will be joining us here on Wild World, and we're going to hear a couple of her new tunes, her new album. She's getting ready for a European tour and all across the United States, so we're all excited about that. And Laura's been on our friend of the show. She's been on many, 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 many times, And it's great to see her career being so successful with her dad, Papa Cheadle. She'll be joining us for after the Oh, yeah, she's hot. She's big.
I want to go on tour with her.
Oh, well, stick around. Maybe we can ask her about that.
Did you know I sing?
She does sing. I know. I haven't heard her.
Oh, well, we'll have to hear her sing next week.
You certainly will.
This is, stay tuned for after the hour, but this is Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Amy. Good night.
Good night.
She ain't leaving.
I'm not going anywhere.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.
Don't go anywhere, anybody. This is Larry Batson, and it's time now on Wild World After the Hour with our guest this week, all the way from New Jersey, Laura Cheadle. Into a whole new direction, and so suitable for her voice, I have to tell you.
Wow,
good
that
evening,
was really
Laura.
Good.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Good evening, Laura. How are we doing?
Well, hello.
Laura there?
Hello?
Are you there? Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing fantastic as we celebrate our first edition of After the Hour on Wild World, and you're all the reason for it because we're so excited to have you on our show again. And you're,
they sold me rings for that, After Hours. I like that.
Oh, it's so appropriate. And we have with us tonight one of our guest correspondents, Amy Swihart. Pretty good too, huh, Amy?
Hey, you know what? That was really good. And you know what? I happened to look her up on the internet. And Laura, you are so freaking hot. I mean, wow. I'm like, oh my gosh, she is gorgeous.
Dr. Day's had a crush on her for a long time.
I bet. Okay, they aren't going to want to talk to me anymore because now they know somebody that's really hot. And, you know, I mean, I'm serious. The music is awesome, actually. I just liked you on Facebook because it was really good. And you're so gorgeous. I'm so jealous. I want your job. Do you want mine?
Yeah. I'm in love with your voice.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't know what you look like,
but
I'll be in love with your voice for now.
Well, thanks. I sing a lot of songs, but nothing near as good as you do because I sing with first grade. They think I'm pretty doggone good, but it's first grade. So, yeah.
I'll sing the alphabet for you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty impressive, but I could teach you a lot if you're in my room.
Oh,
but
wow.
Anyway, it's about you. So you have this music is really awesome, and I have to say something else. Sorry, Larry, but I have to talk to her about something else real quick too. Okay, so I see that you have like, or you wear this certain jewelry line, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I'm a huge jewelry freak, and so I need to look into that stuff too. I see that that's something that do you wear that at, like a lot of your shows. You do acoustic shows, don't you?
I do a few acoustic shows. Basically, it's with the whole band, but I do a little bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I saw that, and I was like, jewelry, oh, yay. And then she's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was
I
really cool.
I'm a jewelry line, very hippie bohemian like me. And
yes. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, you have a new fan.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Larry, sorry, you had things you wanted to talk about, and I interrupted. I'm good at that.
No.
I'm a woman.
No, that's fantastic, because I would have never asked about the jewelry line, because... You must have said,
why not?
I don't know.
Well, now you know where to shop for Christmas for me.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, or Cheryl.
You're
hired.
Yeah,
well, yeah.
Yeah, you want to know something else? Because this is something else I read too, that you wanted to travel in an old Volkswagen, right?
Yeah, that just happened today. I just actually wrote that
yes.
up. Yeah.
I know, I saw that too. And have you ever looked those up? Like, I love those, and I've looked them up online, and I like them, the old ones that have been
All I want to do. Can someone sponsor me one? That's all I
want
to do.
Yeah. I mean, those are really cool.
You don't know, be all on it and put peace signs and blues and travel into the sunset with me and you.
Right. I think they're neat. I want one that looks old, though, that has new working parts.
Oh, okay. This is getting fun. I like it.
Yeah.
Well,
I
was quite the connoisseur of Volkswagens in my youth, which was several decades ago.
Yeah, I'm really angry that I'm too young to have even been alive for that.
Yeah, so.
Well, I always put it out in Lady Land that I want one, and maybe I'll manifest it.
Well,
yeah.
It probably will happen.
Yeah.
Be ready, I'm telling you right now.
They have them. They're for sale out there.
I know.
Yeah.
Just keep saying it. See what happens.
Yeah.
So you want the bus or you want the Beetle or what do you want?
I want the bus.
Common Ghia?
I drive a Volkswagen car. I'm a very Volkswagen person, but I want that bus.
Yeah, with a little curtain. The curtains are a must.
I need it.
Yeah.
It's all Ghia. That's it. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Well.
That's what I want to go on tour in.
Well, those buses now are pretty pricey. I watch counting cars on Discovery Channel, and a good Volkswagen bus is like $15,000.
Well, I saw one for $5,000 today on Craigslist.
You saw one? Oh, you should buy it. Not unless it's worth
$5,000 to buy it. However, someone may.
Oh, really? Would that be Dr. Day?
Well, yeah, let me see what I can do.
Yeah, well, me on the teacher salary, not so much.
I don't know.
Well, Dr. Day, though, he's had this crush on Porsche
for a while. So, Dr. Day, I think it's time we take our relationship to the next level.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting dizzy.
Dr. Day, you might want to reapply your deodorant.
Good idea.
I think you might need a second round of the old Arm & Hammer. He's probably sweating right now.
By the way, back to the
blues. Yes.
So, not to change the subject, but when does this tour start, Laura?
Well, I'm touring East Coast as we speak. This spring and summer, I don't have every detail, but people who do not live where I live on the East Coast will be able to finally see me in many, many places. I'm giving you a teaser now, but it's all supporting my All Blues album.
I heard.
And eventually Europe, which I'm going to lose my mind over. I just want to go everywhere in my VW bus. Maybe not Europe, but that. I will be in a lot of places. And I think it's, you know, everything has led me to blues. It's a transition. I was across the country this summer. I went from New Jersey to San Francisco driving, and I've always been a blues singer, but I was doing all these blues clubs, sitting in with these incredible blues artists, and I'm a really big hippie. Like, I was born too late, but I feel like I manifested that.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I've been doing blues, amazing things have been happening, and the whole blues album is called Bruised and Soothed, because I've been in a lot of heartbreaks, and just like in life, too, but it's very soothing for me, and I feel like it's taken me over for who I really am. I'm excited.
Well, you know, your timing may be absolutely perfect, because Snoop Dogg is getting ready to do a film on legendary blues artist Fillmore Slim.
Oh, yeah?
So that's going to bring a bunch of attention to the blues and all these youngsters. Right.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a big demand for blues music. And I think your timing is just about perfect. And I've always thought your voice would be fantastic on blues material. I always thought that.
You want to live it, too. You have to live, you know, before you can really believe yourself. And it's just like, I'm just letting it out now. Once you hear this new album, it's awesome. I love it.
Well, we got a couple more tracks. We're going to play something else, if that's okay. This is Laura Cheadle on Larry Batson's Wild World right here on Blog Talk Radio.
This is one of my favorite tunes. Because sometimes, if you don't dig the blues, you got a hole in your soul. You don't find the blues, baby, the blues find you. They call a storm in my day. Tuesday is just a day. They eagle flies on Friday. Saturday, baby, I go out to play. Eagle flies on Friday. Saturday, baby, I go out to play. Go to church on Sunday, and I get down on my knees, and I pray. Show me something.
If you go on my website or Reverb Nation, you can download that song for free.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
LordCheadle.com, I assume?
Yep, it's all free. That's my favorite blues song, Stormy Monday.
Oh, my gosh. I heard it at James.
Fantastic job.
My Lord. So you have to be excited about this. Did you have a chance to get down into the southern part of the States when you went across the country?
Yeah, I sang in Chicago at Buddy Guy's Blues Club. I sang at Biscuit and Blues in San Francisco, and I sat in this amazing blues singer named E.C. Scott, and all the videos on my website. Just the blues community is incredible, just unbelievable. And I'm the kind of performer that I just don't sit there. I get up, and I'm dancing and engaging and telling stories, and that's what I like. I'm not someone that can sit to the guitar. I have to be in it. I do everything. I'm so in it, and that's what blues is. Like, you can't hide it. You have to have those feelings of heartbreak and emotion and everything.
And you know what? That is so... Oh, sorry.
I was going to say,
that is so nice, because when I go to concerts, you know, you can go and you can see some of the most well-known people in concert, and when they just sit there, I think to myself when I'm leaving, you know, I don't know if I would ever want to see them again in concert.
Yeah.
And the ones that are involved with their audience, that's just far more interesting and entertaining. And I always want to go back to see them. I mean, I just think that's really neat. So that's nice to know that you do that. That's like the added touch. It's really nice.
I do it because I love it. And, you know, one of the last shows, I had the entire place dancing with me. I jump in the crowd and I just love it. Music is such an expression. If you hear me sing, that's, you'll know me. That's what I always say when I meet people. I'm like, have you seen me perform yet? Then you don't know me yet.
Yeah. Well, we feel we do, though, even though we haven't.
You do. You will sing.
Well, you've got to come to Indianapolis, and Dr. J and I, we would both show up.
I was in Indiana this summer, but I didn't perform. I'm at a campground, believe it or not.
Really?
Well, we'd be on the front row jumping up and down like Justin Bieber fans.
No, let's not go there. No, a campground would be perfect for your Volkswagen bus.
Right,
and you set up and have a concert, that would be perfect. That's like the best setting right there.
I think we got something happening.
I know so. So this is so exciting. So you're so glad now that you didn't have to go to Egypt, huh?
I'm kind of pissed I got all my shots out of spent all that money. I would have loved to go, though. I mean, I'm still can't believe it happened right when I was supposed to go.
Yeah, same as Miss Swihart. Laura Cheadle had a tour of Egypt planned. In fact, she was on the show just before she was getting ready to leave, and we were giving tips on how to ride a camel. And that's when all the violence broke out in Egypt. So wisely, they decided not to go to Egypt and tour because it probably would not have been well at all. My God.
Right.
Absolutely not.
Wow. I've actually never really even thought about riding a camel before.
I would love that.
We talked about it quite extensively that night and how it's, it's a whole different deal. But now she doesn't have to worry about that, so.
Yeah, but now that she's heard about it, don't you want to go ride a camel? I mean, that would be an experience.
I'm going to still put that on my bucket list. I'm so excited about it. I was kind of a private tour of a pyramid. I'm so mad. But, you know what? It'll happen.
Yeah.
Well, sure. It will. Because Egyptians love the blues, too. I mean, who doesn't love the blues? You know, even though my wife, Cheryl, says it's so sad.
No, it's good. You know what? I think about sitting in a club and listening to the blues and listening to that your music. I mean, that's a really nice night to do that. So, I don't know. I like that.
We're going to have to come off the show when I'm in your area.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's for sure. Oh. I want backstage passes.
All right. You got it.
Well, I feel lucky, Laura, because I've had the opportunity to see Muddy Waters when he was alive.
No way.
Which is pretty unforgettable. Not B.B. King, but Albert King. Albert King.
Oh, wow.
But Muddy Waters was always on my favorite blues vocalist because that voice is just like honey. He was just incredible. And it was toward the end of his career and the end of his life because he sat on a stool all night, but he was still just absolutely amazing.
Oh, I bet. I'm so jealous of you.
Be within 10 feet of Muddy, it was like. Of course, I was always in trouble because I enjoyed the album by Muddy Waters called Electric Mud, when he first introduced electric guitars and wah-wah sound into his sound, the blues enthusiasts did not like it.
Mm.
But I thought it was still a great album. Just a great album.
But
you
know what? You'll be able to say that someday, Laura. People will be saying that about you. When I am Larry's age, you know, which is a lot of years from now, and I've taken over his show because he's gone off to the lion's den somewhere. I will be saying, you know, back in the day, I had the privilege of talking to Laura, and so you know, hey, that's going to be you someday. For sure, you're young. You've got time, and you'll be able to go places. And poor Mr. Batson, sorry, Larry, and probably Dr. Day too, because he's probably right up there with Mr. Batson. Dr. Day, are you still there? Are you sleeping?
No, we're still here. We're not asleep.
I know, but you know they.
Definitely my new husband. I like it.
Yeah. So, you know, it'll be you. You'll be a well-known name for sure.
Well, I thought,
thank you. Oh, because she's been on our program. That was
the
catalyst
for it all. That's the edge I needed, Larry.
I know. That's why we love to have Laura Cheadle on. Well, I think the news sounds absolutely unbelievable, and I think you're going to do great things with it. And I know that the folks in Europe are just going to love Laura Cheadle. I mean, because they're more blues enthusiasts than we are. I mean, they're more music enthusiasts than we are.
I just hope she comes back.
I know. That's the thing. You know,
well,
I was in Philadelphia now, and I'm a Philly girl, and I love it. So I ain't going anywhere, baby. I like it.
Well,
in Philadelphia's not far. We need to take a road trip.
Come on.
Well, do they have any regulations as far as bringing baboons into the Pennsylvania state lines? I have to look into that. But
better check. We'll check.
Wow, what an amazing half hour we had a chance to spend with our good friend Laura Cheadle. Some great sounds and getting ready to go on a big tour. We're going to keep everybody up to date because Laura's going to keep us up to date and let us know the progression of the tour and when she's coming into the States, because I know if she comes into Indianapolis, Indiana, or within 50 miles of it, the first one in the ticket line will be Dr. Henry Day.
That is correct. You know, there's only one other voice that I've heard in my life that ever gave me chills, and that was Barbara Streisand. And Laura, she's on top of the list now.
Wow.
Oh, my
God.
Wow. Oh, my Lord, Dr.
And
Day.
You know what? I Laura is way hotter, just saying.
Oh, well, yeah.
Laura's got the whole sexy girl going on, so.
Yeah. Well, she was singing Stormy Monday tonight. I was sitting in a bar at 3 o'clock in the morning with so much smoke you could hardly see the stage, and Laura was singing on stage.
Just for you. I was looking directly into your soul.
That was your dream, Dr. Day? Oh,
yeah, well,
Lord.
I'll be dreaming tonight.
I'd hire a bodyguard, Laura, if I were you. Get some security.
No, you could take it down.
I don't know which one of you loves me more. This is a great time tonight. I'm enjoying doing it.
But, you know, I have to say, I'm going to be really honest in saying that I didn't really know anything about you until Larry brought this up, and I started snooping on the internet and listening to some little clips, and I'm very impressed. I really like I feel really lucky that I got to hear this, and I actually got to talk to you. Woohoo! So that's so cool. So I'm like bragging. I'm gonna brag to all my friends tomorrow.
Wow, I'm gonna be on this show all the time.
Well, you will be. We will be. We love the after hour program, and
my music, Laura Cheadle after hours.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Here's another tune from Laura Cheadle. Have a great week, everybody, as we enjoy and we move out of this after our program with Music Alert. Thanks, Laura. It was so wonderful. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
Being on the
yes,
show.
Yes, it was nice talking to you.
And we love you, Laura.
I love you more.
Higher security. I'm telling you, higher security.
Oh, no.
This is Larry Batten.
She knows right where to hit him.
Wild World. After Hour on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Somehow I know it's gonna be I know that this is real, baby. It's the best that it could be.
You're the best, baby.